Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite podcast, where editors of Managed Healthcare Executive chat with healthcare executives in the C-Suite and professionals. Our conversations are about the most important issues facing American healthcare today, such as its cost, effectiveness, delivery, organization, and its fairness. Listen in, learn a lot. Hi, my name is Brianna Contreras, and I'm Associate Editor of Managed Healthcare Executive. In this week's episode, I spoke with Dan Necht, Vice President of Clinical Health at CVS Health. During our discussion, we spoke about telehealth, patient access to it, CVS MinuteClinics, and most importantly, CVS Health's recent study, Path to Better Health. This annual study includes responses from consumers and providers who were asked for their thoughts on the state of healthcare.
Hi, Dan. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you. So to start off our interview, I wanted you to explain CVS Health and just what you do.
Sure. So I am Vice President of Clinical Product in the Transformation Organization of CVS. So our mission is to bring together company-wide assets such as our MinuteClinic, our pharmacy, our data analytics, our case managers, bring them together and develop clinical products that aim to improve the health of our patients, members, and the communities we serve while reducing unnecessary medical spend and providing a differentiated experience for the end user. So the objective here is to really better serve the unmet needs of our patients and members in a local community-focused approach.
Great, awesome. And then again, just what you do personally.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So I lead a team of clinicians and business leaders to think about and develop these products. So we're spending a lot of time thinking about sort of three big areas. One is around health journey and customer engagement. So helping individuals around wellness and maternity and women's health. Another team is thinking about chronic condition solutions. So helping individuals with diabetes, hypertension, and developing products in that space. And then the final team is ideating and developing products and services that help people struggling with cancer or living with serious illness and trying to make their that sort of part of their health journey as evidence-based and as person-centric as possible. And then I just, one more team is thinking about the pharmacists we have working for CVS. How do we allow them to practice at the top of their license and help either coordinate or deliver care for our customers directly in the pharmacy.
Okay, great. Thank you. Now to go straight to your guys's, I'm sorry, CVS Health's current study that was just released. So you've probably been doing these surveys for a few years now, correct?
Correct. Yeah, this is actually our third annual Path to Better Health survey. And so this is a survey in which gets feedback and insights from 1,000 customers across the United States, as well as 400 providers, which include physicians, but nurse practitioners, pharmacists, and physician assistants. And what we're trying to do is take a pulse of the health needs of patients and the state of the state is as it relates to practicing medicine and improving health across the United States.
Right. Okay. Now, what are, like, if you could give two or the three most salient trends from this year's, at least, or maybe throughout, and specifically in this study, how did COVID-19 affect them? And did the pandemic influence any of these trends overall?
Yeah, absolutely. So the perennial trends we are seeing is increasing need by our customers to have better access to care, which is more convenient, which is more, not only community-based, but also leveraging telehealth. And that second trend is around technology-enabled care. So increasing embracement by patients and consumers of technology-enabled care. So telehealth and telemedicine. And then sort of the third theme is around public health and all the challenges the American people and population are struggling with as it relates to chronic conditions, behavioral health conditions, and substance use disorders. So Those are the themes we're seeing year over year. I think as it relates to the COVID-19 pandemic, we're seeing just those trends accelerate, in particular around embracing telehealth and increasing access to care. I think also as it relates to COVID-19, in addition to the tremendous burden it's placing on our providers and society, there's also we're seeing an increase in needs for behavioral health solutions and care in that domain.
Okay, thank you. Now, because the study's findings showed consumers want or need more accessible, personalized, and tech-enabled care, why are these needs key for meeting consumer health needs?
Yeah, well, I'll just first off by stating that we're seeing across a number of different industries increasing demand and expectation for technology-enabled, convenient solutions. So you look at sort of the transportation realm, you see Uber and Lyft really breaking new ground in that space. As it relates to travel and lodging, you see these very digital native tech-enabled companies like Airbnb. So consumers are just expecting that level of personalization and convenience, and they're certainly expecting that from healthcare as well. Where so we acknowledge that, and this is an area where we need to focus our efforts and make sure that we're meeting that those rising expectations of consumers.
Okay. Now it seems like everyone else, you have identified acceptance and use of telehealth as perhaps the most prominent effect of the pandemic with respect to the use of health services. Is there anything else you would identify as particularly related to COVID?
Yeah, well, as it relates to telehealth, because of the pandemic, we've seen a lot of changes occur from a regulatory perspective. So CMS has relaxed a number of rules and increased access via payment changes. So, that's been a huge accelerant. A simple example would be around relaxing some of the regulations and restrictions around HIPAA. So now providers can use FaceTime or other sort of ways to communicate with patients. So that certainly has been an accelerant as well. And also, I think just the fact that patients and consumers are rightfully nervous to visit hospitals, emergency departments, or physicians' offices. I mean, this sort of so you see an increase in demand. So consumers are much more hungry to use telehealth, and an increase in supply. You see providers are offering telehealth services. So this is sort of, this has resulted in a substantial increase in telehealth encounters over the past few months.
Great, thank you. Now next, the MinuteClinics with CVS have been based on convenient in-person care, but now healthcare is moving to telehealth. So what does that mean for MinuteClinics if their attraction was that you could walk in person?
Yeah, great question. So MinuteClinic pretty quickly pivoted when the COVID pandemic started. So they no longer take walk-ins to ensure people in the stores are safe, but they also have embraced virtual visits. So we provide virtual visit services for the majority of states across the United States. So that's one area. And also what we've done is we've set up community-based drive-through testing across the United States. And so the MinuteClinic clinicians have stepped in to provide testing services in the parking lots and the drive-through sections of the CVS retail facilities. So, there you see sort of MinuteClinic, plugging those important gaps and ensuring, they're providing, safe care, convenient care during these really unprecedented times.
Okay, thank you. Now, what kind of telehealth services have you added to MinuteClinics and health hubs as a result of the pandemic? And are you using a particular vendor? So I know you mentioned the drive-through, but is there anything else?
Well, I'd certainly say there's been a trend over the past 2 years, even prior to COVID, where MinuteClinic is providing more longitudinal services. So in addition to providing care for sort of minor illness or injuries, MinuteClinic and the health hubs are providing more and more chronic care for diabetes, hypertension, hyperlipidemia. These are sort of very common conditions that co-occur and that are, that the MinuteClinic clinicians feel comfortable managing. And I think it's just also important to say that there's data interoperability between the MinuteClinic clinician and the broader healthcare ecosystem. So MinuteClinics use Epic, which is America's largest, or one of America's largest electronic health record platform. So providing care, but making sure it's not in a vacuum and it gets pulled back in to the healthcare ecosystem to ensure that patients, you know, if and when they return to their primary care physicians, if they have them, are receiving sort of seamless care. So, you know, that's a big advancement, I think, as it relates to consumer-centric, patient-centric care in the community.
Right, okay. Now, back to the survey again. It shows that 62% of consumers go to their primary care physician for minor illnesses, versus the 31% who go to a walk-in clinic. How does that 2-to-1 ratio compare to past years? And also, and some PCPs see the walk-in clinic as a competition and a threat to coordinated care. Are they wrong?
Yeah, good question. So we are seeing an increase in patients' willingness to go to walk-in clinics and minute clinics for minor illnesses and an injury, and that just, it reflects the changing consumer appetites around sort of consumer centric care. So that's one piece. I'd say as it relates to working in conjunction with primary care providers, you know, I think this is an opportunity just to highlight the fact that we're working to partner with primary care providers in the community. So for example, when we set up a new MinuteClinic, we reach out to providers in the community to let them know we're open for business and we want to work collaboratively with them. I'll also say that MinuteClinic providers are sure to support patients in referrals back to primary care providers. Sort of anecdotally, I went to a MinuteClinic about 6 months ago just to get my cholesterol checked, and they strongly advised me go make an appointment with my primary care provider in the community. So I think that this is something that really needs to be emphasized, that we're not competing with primary care providers. I'll also say that about 50% of Americans don't have a primary care provider, so we're helping to fill that gap as well. And then just lastly, unfortunately, more and more, there's going to be an increasing shortage of primary care physicians. It's probably, there are not enough med schools opening up to introduce and train more providers, or I should say physicians. So, and many of those physicians, like my colleagues from medical school, have gone into subspecialties. So I think there's an opportunity to sort of address that gap in primary care across the United States with MinuteClinic and HealthHub.
Great, thanks. Now the survey also found that the vast majority, or 91% of respondents were concerned about the cost of healthcare, and about a third said it was an obstacle to staying healthy. Can you name two or three steps that CVS Health has taken to address cost?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is definitely a key a strategic objective of our healthcare strategy. We want to make sure care is accessible and affordable. So for example, a few months ago, we announced a new formulary offering through Caremark. It's called ZeroRx. And so essentially all diabetes medications have no copay associated with them. So that's one option employers can select to address the affordability issue. I think another program we're going to be launching in the MinuteClinics and Health Hubs relates to the cost of insulin. So we will be offering a service where patients who are recently not only diagnosed with diabetes, but starting insulin, can come to the MinuteClinic and have their insulin titrated, but also we're willing to start them on low cost human insulin, which is clinically equivalent in the vast majority of cases. So that's reducing the cost of a pharmaceutical while improving access to care. As you probably know, 50% of diabetics are not at their goal. So there's, so we're working hard to figure out how we can address that issue and reducing both access issues, but affordability issues.
Okay. Now for the next question. Most of the providers you surveyed identified prescription drug pricing as a challenge to patient well-being. President Trump signed four executive orders on Friday that concern drug pricing, including one that may mean, importation of drugs from Canada. So has CVS taken a stand on the Trump executive orders? And what is the company doing about lowering prescription drug costs?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's a little bit out of the scope of my expertise. I will say that we are, with programs like the, with our zero out-of-pocket cost diabetes formulary, we're working on ways to ensure cost is not a barrier to getting care.
Okay, thank you. Now, are there any health disparities that are now getting more attention? And again, I'm sorry, have you analyzed your results through the lens of race and black and white differences? And if you have, what were the results? And if you haven't, why not? And might you in the future?
That's such an important question now more than ever. One area where there's a racial and ethnic disparity as it relates to healthcare is around maternal mortality. This is something we're very passionate about. So. It is more dangerous now to give birth in the United States than it was two decades ago. So this is it's an alarming disparity. And unfortunately, the United States is the only country in the OECD where we're seeing an increase in maternal mortality. So I think moreover, what's even more alarming is that African-American women are at a threefold increased risk of a bad outcome as it relates to childbirth than non-African American women. So, we recently launched a program where what we're doing is using data analytics to identify in our Aetna membership women who are pregnant, and based on sort of clinical criteria, these women who are at increased risk for preeclampsia, which is a major driver of poor outcomes as it relates to pregnancy. So we launched a program where we're sending personalized kits that contain information around what preeclampsia is, how to identify it, as well as how to talk to your provider around preeclampsia. In this kit is actually a bottle of CVS aspirin, and it's been demonstrated through multiple studies that aspirin during pregnancy for women at risk for preeclampsia reduced the risk of this common condition. So, this is a really exciting program. I don't think anybody else is doing something like this. And we're really focusing it on populations who are at risk for poor health outcomes during and after pregnancy. So that's, I think, this is one example of how we're thinking about healthcare disparities and making sort of data-driven, patient-centric programs and outreach to narrow these gaps in care.
Okay, great. Thank you. Now, lastly, that's all I have for you, but is there anything else that you'd like to share from the study or about CVS Health?
No, I think the only other, one other thing is, we're definitely thinking about, specific conditions, like we're thinking and deploying programs as it relates to diabetes, but we really want to have a holistic view. So, for example, like for diabetes, 34 million Americans live with diabetes, but it's really, it's not just diabetes. 80% of people with diabetes are either obese or overweight. 70% of individuals living with diabetes also have hypertension, 40% have high cholesterol, and 20% still smoke. So as we think about these conditions, we are also taking into account the whole person, and so making sure we're addressing certainly clinical conditions that co-occur, but also thinking about social and behavioral determinants of health. So, we're working with a team, actually a group called Unite Us, to make sure we can curate social determinants of health to address nutrition, employment, and a variety of other drivers of overall health. So that's just another sort of important call out that is, key to our strategy going forward.
Great. Well, thank you again, Dan, for joining us today.
Thanks, Brianna. I appreciate the interest.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Apple Podcasts, and follow Managed Healthcare Executive on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. For more information on MHE, visit our website at www.managedhealthcareexecutive.com.